You know what I mean? A lot of us here this morning, you've been saved probably your whole life. Some of you have been saved for 20 years. You've known the Lord for 30 years, and you have sat under so much preaching of the word. But every single time a word is released, what do? We move away from that word. And then we look across the road and we see that other people are blessed. Why is things going forward for them? Why are they not at the same place where they were maybe a year ago? Why? Because they are not just hearers of the word, they are doers of the word. I can tell you this morning that the word of God works. But it only works to the extent that we are obedient to what it says. Amen. I don't know if you guys remember during conference, the Sunday night, we were praising, we were worshiping God. There was such an atmosphere in the house. And Pastor Brad gave us a word as a church. He said that, I see that God is going to release a sound from this pulpit. Remember that? People from all over the world are going to start singing the songs that are going to be released from this church. But here's the thing, guys, is that we can take a word like that and we can immediately look at Hillsong, we can look at Bethel, we can look at Elevation, and we can tell ourselves, but we're not there. So how does it even make sense what God is saying here? But if we grab a hold of what God is saying here, He will take us there. Hello? Come on, if you want to go somewhere in God, you got to do what you need to do right here and now. And be obedient in that word, amen? And on Friday night, I was in Port Elizabeth. I got invited to this conference to lead worship and do some ministry. And I mean, it's not a small church. It's quite a big church, and here we come from a small town to a small church, and God puts us on this pulpit. And I tell you, the Spirit of God came into that place, and people started worshiping. Praise started breaking out in that place, and you could feel that things were shifting in the room. And I wasn't surprised. Maybe some of the team guys that were there, they were so excited, like, wow, this is amazing. But I wasn't surprised. Why? Because I know that the word of the Lord was released over that. Hallelujah. So we're going to talk about this a little bit next week, but the band and the people that are serving you in the front, God has given us a word for what you're standing on. And I want you to begin to apply the word of God. I want you to begin to apply yourself. Begin to apply yourself in your craft, in your musicality, in your time spent with the Lord. Why? Because we want to see the word of God being fulfilled. We want to be doers of the word. We don't want to just hear that there's a prophecy over us. God wants to do something, but we sit back and I'll just rock up. It doesn't work like that. For your job, for your business, for your family, it doesn't work like that. You can't just show up. You got to do something. All right. I was hoping for more amens. You know, thanks, Ryan. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You know what? God gives Moses a word. What does he say? He says, go to Pharaoh and tell him, let my people go. Right? He gives him a word, a clear word. Go to Pharaoh and tell them, let my people go. So it was easy for Moses to maybe come back to God and say, God, I can't go to Pharaoh and tell him that you've given me a word. There's no way I can go against the Pharaoh. And God says to him, Moses, I need you to be obedient to my word. Not just what I say, but I want you to go and do what I am saying to do. And sometimes the challenge lies in that, isn't it? It lies in the doing. And sometimes we have to go to people that we might be intimidating to us. And we still have to go and say, hey, but God has given me a word and I'm obedient to come and release that word. Amen? So Moses goes to the Pharaoh. He does what God says. And obviously after so many plagues that have come over Egypt, eventually Pharaoh says, okay, they can go. So Moses can probably, again, say, okay, God, I did what you said I must do. So now you do you. And God says to him, no. I've given you the word, and I want you to do the word. And what God says to Moses is, you are going to lead the people out of Egypt. You're going to lead the people. And here Moses, God gives him another word for the people. He said, I want you to lead the people out of Egypt. Why? So that they may worship me. That is the why behind it. He says that I want my people to go to a place where they can worship me. Remember that. I want you to keep that in mind. But as we know, the Israelites were wandering in the desert for 40 years. And were they worshiping God? At times. But they find themselves at the foot of the mountain. And what are they doing? They're worshiping a calf. This is what the Word of God says. This is what they're supposed to do. And they're doing exactly the opposite of what God is saying. And what was the result? They never entered the promised land. Remember last week, our scripture in James was, the Bible says that let us not just be hearers of the word, but let us be doers of the word. And if we are doers of the word, the Bible says that God is going to bless us. Hello? It might not be a physical place that we go into, but the analogy of the promised land is the blessing of God upon our lives. And it is only until Joshua comes and he remembers what the word was spoken over the Israelites. And he says, man, I'm going to do the word. I'm going to do the word. And the Lord comes, Jesus comes to him and says, I want you to be courageous, but be very courageous. That's what it takes sometimes to do the word. It takes a people that will be courageous. It doesn't matter what I face. It doesn't matter what the culture of the day say or how people are against me. If it's a Pharaoh that I need to face, I'm going to face them. Why? Because I'm going to be obedient to the word of God. Hello? I'm not going to buckle or under the culture or what people say. I'm going to be obedient to the word of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hello? But here's the thing. It's like, you know, some of the parents will know what I'm talking about when you tell your kids, hey guys, I want you to go wash the dishes. Anybody ever tried that? It doesn't happen in our home, amen. Our kids, they wash the dishes. I mean, you know, they're holy. They spend time with the Lord. And whenever we speak, they do the word. But have you noticed that not in your house, but in some homes, I hear the parents ask the kids to do the dishes, and then nothing happens. And then I see there's an uncomfortability because we're visiting. And it's like, why are they not doing? And then the dad goes to the room, and obviously it's not me. I'm talking about your house. The dad goes to the room and he says, have you done the dishes? You know? Okay, let's take it in, guys. Take it in. He said, I said, have you done the dishes, right? And their response is, I said, did you hear what I said? I heard what you said, Dad. And then they tell me what I said. You said, go and do the dishes. Isn't it? And it's like, I don't want to hear what I said. You know what I'm saying? And then they say, that they're like, you know what? I can give it to you in the Hebrew. I can give it to you in Greek. What you said. And that's what we do sometimes with the word of God. We are so good. I'm going to open up the scriptures to you, brother. I'll give you the Greek and the homiletics and all this good stuff. And you sound so holy. But where it really comes down to is that we are the doers of the word. And if you just hear the word, the Bible says in James that you are a fool if you don't do the word. If we don't do the word, we are fools. You can go to Bible school. I hear that a lot. Pastor, I've done Bible school for 3 years. You know, I've been ordained into ministry and I'm just so called. Hallelujah. And then I'm like, okay, what are you going to do about that? What are you doing about that? Didn't we have that conversation the other day? What are you going to do with what the word of God is saying to you about yourself? And when you step out in obedience, and sometimes it's going to be scary. It's like, man, I don't know if I can do that. It's like, but if you are being obedient, you're going to walk in the blessing of the Lord. Amen? Come on, give a clap, man. That's you. I'm talking about you. Amen? So the Israelites, they've received a word. Moses had given the word to give to the people. And what was one of the things that stopped them from getting into the promised land? The Bible says it was their stubbornness. They were a stubborn people. They wanted to do their own thing in spite of what the word of God was telling them. Isn't it? And it just shows you sometimes how we can be in moments where God speaks, right? God is moving. And at the same time, our stubbornness and our disobedience can take us off course from the very thing that God is saying. How is it that some of us come into powerful services and we lift up our hands and God speaks to us and we're encountering the presence of God, but we can walk out of this place and go and do the opposite thing? Isn't it? Right? So the people of God, it was their stubbornness, and this is what stubbornness means. It means that not to change one's attitude or position on something. I want to change my attitude towards the Word of God. Hello? I want to do something about the Word of God. I don't want to be so in my head. Now, I hear what you're saying, but the Bible says that wisdom is in the counsel of many. And even sometimes when we sit in the counsel of many, we leave those conversations and we still do our own thing. And we wonder why we are not working in the blessing of God, why we're not experiencing a promised land for ourselves. Amen? So the people of God, I mean, they're just stubborn. They just, man, we hear what God is saying, but we want to do this. Moses comes and he pleads with the people. He teaches the people the word. He even comes and presents them with the Ten Commandments. And what happens? They still choose to do what they want to do. And we are living in a society right now. We're living in a culture right now where we want to do what we want to do. Isn't it? I'm going to do what I want to do. But in the back of our heads, we know that God is saying, hey, that's not really what I've called you to do. That's not what I said. I want to tell you something this morning. Your feelings sometimes can deceive you. Your noble thoughts. Well, you know, my heart's pure and I want to do this and I this and that. But it can also be deceptive to you. Hello? So Friday night, again, I want to just get back to Friday. We were on stage and I got to share some testimony with the people there. And the Lord reminded me of a word that I actually received in that church. It was 2008. I was doing a conference there, a youth conference. And I was busy doing my thing. You know, I was rapping. In my city, I will be the light. I will shine bright, brighter than any city lights. In my city. You know, I was like doing my thing there. But there was a guest speaker. And this man was a prophet. And this man was scary. You know, like the prophets, they don't smile. They just like stand there. You know, and I've heard about this man. His name is Mark Bredenkamp, and I saw him on, like, he was on Carte Blanche, and he was casting out demons, and, you know, this guy was intense, and he was at this conference, and I only knew it when I got there, and I thought to myself, they said, CJ, we want you, they're going to praise and worship, and then you're going to go up, and then the prophet's going to come and speak. I was like, I'm going to do my songs, and I'm going to get off this pulpit as quick as I can, you know what I mean? I don't want to get in the way. And I was like, Lord, please let it be anointed, let it be holy. The man of God comes, you know what I'm saying? So he comes, I get off stage, run off stage. He runs from his chair onto the stage. He grabs the microphone and he says, young man. Like literally there in the middle. I should have told the story like this on Friday. But anyway, so as I just try to run to my seat, he calls me, he says, young man, come here. And he starts prophesying over me. He starts prophesying the word of the Lord over me concerning my future and where God wants me to take. But one of the things that I want to take out of that, he says to me, he says, I see you standing in Times Square. Now you must understand, 2008, where we were and what we were facing, all of the challenges. When you say to me, I see you in New York City standing on Times Square, are you kidding me? That's not a word from God. Hello? Maybe it's the chicken that he ate before he came and preached. You know what I'm saying? But I don't know if that is a word from God. Why? Because where I was at the moment didn't give me the picture. I couldn't see New York. I couldn't see Times Square. And that was in 2008. And in 2009, I got invited to Cape Town to do some ministry with Reinhard Bonnke in Cape Town. And it was a youth conference. And while I was there, I was being obedient, doing ministry. And afterwards, in the back lounge, a guy comes to me. His name's Chris Colbeck. He comes, he says, hey, CJ, how are you, my brother? Introduces himself. We shake hands and whatever. And he says to me, he's the crusade director of CFAN, Reinhard Bonnke's ministry. And, you know, you meet the people and you're like, great, bless you. We moved down to Durban. You know the prophet I was telling you about? We went and moved to his ministry. How do you do that? You know what I mean? We end up in Durban, and late 2009, or middle of the year, I get a call from Chris Colbeck, and he says to me, hey, CJ, so I told Pastor Bonnke about what you were doing with the youth, etc., and we're doing a Firestorm conference in Dallas, Texas, and we would love to invite you to come for that. Was that the first time I went to the U.S., right? And I was, like, excited. Get my passport. I even had the you know, like, the bank statements, like, 3 months, because, you know, you got to show them. Are you going to be able to look after yourself in a minute? Why are you guys making it so difficult, man? We just want to come for a visit, bro. You know? And I'm at the the embassy in Durban. I got my stacks of paper and I'm so nervous because, you know, people tell you, you're not going to get a visa. You know how people are, isn't it? God gives you a word and they say, ah, why bother? And I'm sitting with these 3 months bank statements, and nowhere in those bank statements does it prove that I can look after myself in America. But, you know, I'm a man of faith, you know, I've got my faith, you understand? So I'm there and I get to the counter and look at God. I come to this lady, she goes through my bank statements, and you know when people look at her, things are not looking good for this guy, you know what I'm saying? But anyway, she looks, and the next moment I had a letter from CFAN, and she opens it up and she sees the letter. And the first thing she says to me, oh, Reinhard Bonnke, the evangelist. She says, you've got your visa. Boom. A word, just a word from God, right? So I get ready, get on a flight. Actually not funny, it's just how the enemy works. The night before, I get like this crazy cold, like crazy, like just an attack from the enemy. Like just literally wanna keep you in your tracks of what God wants to do, right? But you know what? Somehow the Lord just brought me through that with the help of my wife. Hallelujah! Praise the Lord. You need a wife in your life when God gives you a word. Amen. She'll get you through it. Let me wrap up the story. I fly to Dallas, Texas. I get there. I'm in the green room. And a group of young people walks into the tent area. And this young lady comes to me and she introduces herself to me. And she says, hey, I'm Carrie Job. Right? And that time, Carrie Job was still in doing a Year of Your Life with also Christian Christ for the Nations. And nobody knew who Carrie Job was. And here I shake her hands. And a year later, one of her songs goes platinum. You know what I mean? But anyway, that's not the story. I'm just, you know. And what was amazing is that one of my favorite bands, Delirious, it was their last show that they were ever doing as a band. And I got to open for Delirious in Dallas, Texas at their last show, which is amazing. Like, what an honor. Pastor Bonnke was there backstage. Instead of him going to the green room, he actually came and sat with us. And he comes and he sits right next to me. And we start talking, and I'm just like, can't believe that he's here. You know, he's just so blown away. And the next morning when I was out to leave, come back home, Apostle Monkey was outside, and I saw him. He had his bag, and I bought the book. And I thought, let me run over and just ask him if I can just push his bag to the car. And, you know, you just want to serve, and it's just such an honor to be in his presence. Why? Because of what God has done through his life. You know, we don't worship the man, but, hey, there's just some men of God that God has set apart. And what you honor, you attract. Right, and before I leave that morning, Chris Colbert comes to me and he says, hey CJ, we actually moved your ticket forward by 3 days. We just want to bless you to go to New York City. I thought you were going to clap louder, but it's okay. You see, here's the thing. The reasons why some of you clapping or not clapping is like, you know. But you must understand, I am just a colored boy from Pelsrus in Dolphinstraat. This doesn't happen to us. But in that moment, God does something for me to show me that if you are obedient to my word, I will bless you. Amen. I'll bless you. So what's the airport, Roy? JFK. And I get off into the cab, drive to New York. And you know, like in the movies, you see all the stuff and all the skyscrapers and everything. And I get to the hotel and I go upstairs and I open the window and I hear all this noise and all this buzz. And I thought, hey, let me go downstairs and just kind of check out the place. And I remember that day I got out of the hotel. I walked to my right to the corner of the hotel. And when I turned the corner and I took a step, I was standing on Times Square. Okay? The word of the Lord, the word of the Lord. I stand on Times Square, and what happens in that moment? The Holy Spirit reminds me, 2008, Port Elizabeth, Ebenezer, I see you standing on Times Square. Is it something, am I so significant? Is there something special about me? No. I just refuse to just hear the word. I chose to do the word. And part of the doing the word was that night, that man of God came to me and he said, young man, I appreciate your ministry and I see what you are doing. But he said to me this, you are not grounded in the word. And look, I was a hip-hop artist. Caps, pants, hanging. I was, you know, I had a bit of, people knew me in South Africa and I was performing to thousands of people and I would walk into churches and green rooms and they would open up for me and it was, I've arrived. And here the man of God comes to me and says, you are not grounded in the word. I get home the Monday, he sends us, I don't know how many pages of email, of text, typing this email to us. And from the time that I met Pastor Mark to the time we moved to Durban, we packed up everything. My wife left her job. It was what, 2 months or 2 or 3 months? A year and 3 months later, we are sitting in Durban. I signed up for Bible school, left my job, and there I am in Durban with the same guy that I was afraid of, serving in his ministry, not really knowing what I'm doing, but I know that I got a word from God. And I believe that it was part of that obedience, part of wanting to say, God, I don't understand what it is that you're doing, but I'll go to Durban. I'll step out, I'll face the Pharaoh. Whatever you want me to do, I'll do it, I'll do it. Why? Because I know that you are true to your word. Amen? Again, I want to come back to the word that we received 2 weeks ago. I don't want us as a church just to walk away from that word. God says that he was going to give you a God dream. You're going to have a God dream. You, maybe you don't have one yet this morning, but the word of the Lord came out and said that you will have a God dream. And what I want to encourage you with that this morning is that take God at his word. Go and lean in a bit. Go and press in a bit. Last week we spoke about Naaman where he had to go 7 times into the river. 7 times. He could have stopped at one, but he kept going. He kept leaning into the word that God gave him. And as he began to lean into the word, what happened? The 7th time, the Bible says God healed him supernaturally. Why? Because first of all, he believed the word. But he didn't just hear the word. He did the word. He did the word. Your life can change. I'm telling you this morning, your life can change. If you just do the word. Do the word. We are so good at doing everything else. We are good at the self-help, and if I just get that book, if I go to this conference, if I attend that leadership meeting, then things are going to happen for me. Well, actually, it's all here in the word. The word, the word, the word, the word, the word. God wants to fulfill his word, but only to the extent of our obedience. God wants to fulfill his word over your life, but it's only to the extent of our obedience. Amen. Stubbornness will just delay you. Will delay you. The people that God has placed in your life, it's not by chance. You need to listen to them. This man of God, when he sent me that email, I didn't know what I was doing, but I believed that this was somebody that God put in my life. And I will trust him. I will listen to his guidance, to his wisdom. And it was the toughest 3 years of our lives. You can ask my wife. Toughest 3 years of our lives. But now, 10 plus years later, I am living in the fruit where the man of God says, you are not grounded in the word. Where I stand years later and I can tell you that I feel like I'm grounded in the word. And because I became grounded in the word and did what the word said, I started seeing flourish, increase, multiplication. That's the word here, guys. That's the word here. Flourish, increase, multiplication. Here's the sad thing. Some of you will be stubborn this morning and you will not receive this word. Sit. You will be, I've heard this many a times. Well. Maybe this is the time where you need to hear it this morning. Maybe this is the moment where God says, you need to hear it again this moment. And if you grab a hold of it, man, your life's going to change. Hallelujah. So I wanted to just release one word. I'm beginning to see that a lot of conversations are going around people in Jeffreys Bay that are in limbo. I'm in many conversations where I see the spirit of apathy. Is that right? Is that the right word? Where you just can't, You know, I'm in church and I'm sitting here, but I just can't break free. It's just there's something over my life. I just don't know what it is. And on Wednesday morning at prayer meeting, something came up and Madeleine was preaching about double-mindedness. And something just leaped in me and I said, I got to go look at that. I got to go look at that. That's what I'm going to get into next week. Double-mindedness. But I want to release this word to you this morning. Maybe you are stuck in that place. You know what I find more in J-Bay? Is that there are young men. The young men in Jeffreys Bay are stuck. They can't break through. Some of them can't find jobs. And what do we say? It's just Jeffreys Bay. No, it's not Jeffreys Bay. God's blessing is in Jeffreys Bay. God's hand is in Jeffreys Bay. Amen. It is that spirit that is in operation that is keeping people bondage. That they can't see further than the word that has been spoken. They can't go further. They just can't see. You just cannot get to that God dream. You just cannot get that glimpse of what God has for you. And this morning, I want to give you a scripture if you are in that place. And I want you to go home and I want you to go read it again. If you are in that place. Because God's going to break you free from that this morning. Amen. Proverbs 13 from verse 12 to 14. Do we have it in the Message translation? It says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. That deferred is disappointment after disappointment. Hurt after hurt. Pain after pain. Just continually, life is just throwing stuff at you. It's like when you're trying to get out to the back line and the waves just keep coming and pounding and pounding and pounding. And for some people, they keep going. But for other people, they just go back onto the shore and just say, my hope is just deferred. And it makes me heart sick. My heart is sick. And he says, but a longing fulfilled is a tree of life. I don't think that's the message, but my version says, he says, but a sudden good break can turn life around. Let me say that again. A sudden good break can turn life around. Well, the surfers, if you can help me, when the waves are pounding and pounding and keep coming at you, sometimes you just maybe need to get back onto the shore and wait for the sets to go down. Hello? Just for the sets to break a little bit. And if you can check the moment right and you start paddling out again, you will get to the back. And you will enjoy the blessing of getting onto that wave and just riding. And the Bible says, a sudden good break can turn life around. But this is important this morning, and I want you to take this home with you. Verse 13 says, ignore the word and suffer. Honor God's commandments and grow rich. Wow. Hello? I'm in that tight space. I feel the spirit of apathy that's come upon me, and I just can't break free from it. What is the key this morning? Ignore the word and suffer. Well, if I want to get out of that suffering, I got to apply the word. Hello? There's it. There's no book that I can tell you to go and buy. It has that in it. It's this book that has that in it. Ignore the word and suffer. He says, honor God's commands and grow rich. Wow. I want to be rich. Hello? I want to be rich and not in material things. I want to be rich on the inside. Do you know? I want to be full of hope again. I want to dream again. I want to have the God dream on the inside. I'm going to lean into the word. There's no time. I want to get into the next part, but it's okay. We'll get into it next week. Amen. So can we stand on our feet this morning? Hallelujah. Like I said this morning, that for some of us here, and this is in conversation with some of you, that you've already begun to walk into a place where the enemy has come and he's starting to steal the word from you. And some of you that I haven't had conversations yet, some of you are leaning towards that place where it's the enemy starting to steal the word from you. This morning, we've read the scripture. God's given us the scripture. Let's be obedient to it. Let's be obedient to it. Let's be obedient to it. Forza's mom is here this morning. Yeah. She's here. And we had a good chat there in the nursery this week. And I'm glad she came. I'm glad she's here. God is about to change things in your life. He's changing things in your life. And I told you, if God can do what he's doing in your son's life because of his obedience. Forza is only here because he's hearing something, but he doesn't stay in Ocean View. He starts doing the word. He gets on his skateboard. He skates down here with his board, puts on his wetsuit, sits in the leadership circle. And what does he do? He gets out to pedal out. And on Friday, we were doing an interview, a little video with Forza. And you must hear the stuff that's coming out of his mouth. How his life has been changed. How his life has been transformed. And he doesn't even know it, but what he is doing and the result of that is because of the word of God that's been spoken over his life. For the last 3 years, he's been sitting under the word. For the last 3 years, he's been sitting in leadership circles. He's been applying things that are from the word of God. And what happened? It's beginning to change his life. Man, that's amazing. Can you put that up again? Ignore the word and suffer. Honor God's commands and grow. Let's check verse 14. Next one. The teaching of the wise is a fountain of life. So, no more drinking from the death-tainted wells. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want us to close our eyes just for 2 minutes and just there where you are, maybe just a moment of reflection. If you've taken notes, I want you to go back home and I want you to go over those notes. If you want to grab a podcast and listen to it again, not really anything to do with CJ and whatever, but just the word was preached this morning. The word was placed in front of us. Let's become doers of the word. So I want you to take 2 minutes just to have a little bit of reflection.